Our Bible reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 18, verse 35, through to chapter 19, verse 10. A blind beggar receives his sight. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost."
I really like this tree. And you know, it's been reading through this gospel account and discovering more and more about the sycamore fig tree has really changed how I've seen this passage. We'll come to that in a minute. You know, entering into the kingdom of God is only by invitation. Entering into the kingdom of God is only by invitation. But an invitation has been sent to everybody. You can't get into the kingdom of God through your own effort. You can't seize it by violence. You can't break your way in. You can only come by responding to the invitation. And the invitation has been sent to everybody. There's two ways that people fail to get into the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. When the invitation arrives, they say, "There's other things going on in my life. I'm too busy, I can't come." Remember the story of the great banquet? And the householder sends out the invitations. "Sorry, I'm too busy, I've just bought some new land. I've bought some new cattle. I've just become betrothed. I've got to organise the wedding feast. Sorry, I'm too busy, I can't come." Everyone is invited. Everyone receives an invitation. But some have things going on in life that they regard as more important. There's another way that we exclude ourselves from the kingdom of God. We see it in that story of the prodigal son. How the father welcomes home his son. You think the story ends. They organise a huge feast. But then the elder brother refuses to come inside because he just can't bring himself to come in and celebrate when someone he considers unworthy is the focus of the party or has been welcomed home. The kingdom of God, only by invitation. Everyone is invited. Some are too busy. Their priorities are different. And some exclude themselves because they couldn't imagine being in the company of those people who have also been invited and welcomed. We read two stories today, but I want to put them in a bit more of context. We've been following through Luke's gospel, and the story that just precedes these two stories is also about another man. And this one you'll know well as well. It's about the rich man who comes to Jesus and says, What do I need to do to receive eternal life or to enter into the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, well, you know what to do. Follow the commandments. And the guy says, I've been faithful since I was a little kid. I followed every one of those commandments. And Jesus says, well, it's simple. There's just one thing you lack. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. We hear about that guy because he went away very sad, for he was very rich. It's not surprising that those following Jesus say, hey, if it's impossible for this guy, what chance do we have? For Jesus had told them that it's easier for a huge camel to go through this little eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. What chance is it that we could be saved? He was both pious and rich. Surely God's blessing was on him. And Jesus has this remarkable saying, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Jesus talks about his death that will be coming, and then we have these two stories. Could these stories be about what is impossible with man but possible with God? For Zacchaeus was a rich man, and he has entered into the kingdom of God. The sycamore fig tree. It's been fascinating me. And I've been reading a commentary by a guy called Kenneth Bailey, who most of his life was as a missioner and a teacher in Egypt and then in Bethlehem and then in Jerusalem. And when he comes to the study of Scripture, he brings all this stuff about the culture of the times that was still going on in Arab communities even till today. And he tells the story about how when someone who was important would come to a village, all the villagers would go out to greet them. The more important that person was, the further out of the village they were willing to go to greet them. They would greet them, they would bring them back into the heart of their village, and they would host them at a feast. The more important the person, the bigger the feast. We see this in this story. Here is all this crowd that's gone out from Jericho to greet Jesus. And as they're coming back into the city, they pass by this blind man by the side of the road. He hears the crowds. He hears them talking about this visitor they have, about Jesus of Nazareth. And he calls out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And being a beggar by the side of the road, a person of no account, the crowd try to silence him and shut him up. But we know he cries out all the louder, until Jesus stopped and ordered those who had been silencing him to be the ones to escort him to visit Jesus, this celebrity visitor. And as he comes to Jesus, Jesus asks, "What do you want?" He wants to see. He wants to see. And Jesus restores him to his sight. And we're told immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus, praising God. His sight was restored. He followed Jesus. He was praising God. And when the people saw it, we're told they also praised God. These people who had been telling the blind guy to shut up, he was of no importance. Once they saw him healed and his sight restored, they praised God together. You know, in Israel, it would have been acceptable for a blind man to have his sight restored and for it to be seen as a wonderful act of God. The people receive this blind man back into their community. They praise God. He's been restored. And so they travel on through the town. And when they get to Jericho, it says Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. He had no intention of staying in Jericho. He'd come, the people had come out to greet him, and now he was passing through the town, going out on the other side, heading off towards Jerusalem. And this is where the sycamore fig tree changed my understanding. This guy, Kenneth Bailey, that I was talking about, he also studies the ancient writings of the Jewish people, the Talmud and the Mishnah and the other law books that came out from the second century began to be compiled. And he found all these references to the sycamore fig tree. And it says there that you can't plant a sycamore fig tree in the town. It has to be a minimum of 25 metres away from the edge of town that you plant these trees. That seems strange. Well, the saying is that the trees would grow up, they'd be very bushy, they'd have low-lying branches. They would be like a canopy extending out over the roadway. And the Jewish people had this understanding that if someone sinful or a sinner passed under a canopy, a sense of impurity would dwell there and would be contagious for the other people coming. You couldn't have this in the middle of town. You had to have it away from the town. It was also a productive tree. People would build their houses from its timber. It was important, but it had to be kept in its place. As soon as we realise that this tree had to be outside the town, then we understand more of what's happening to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, this tax collector, hated as a person complicit with the imperialist order of Rome, a person that was, as Mary so clearly showed us, a cheat, a liar, a defrauder, someone who would have been hated and kept away from the community, but also a man of some substance. He was rich. In his own eyes, he would have had status. This man is so desperate to see Jesus that he runs. People of substance in the times of Jesus never ran, was seen as undignified. He runs. And what's more, he climbs up a tree on the other side of town. Out of the town. He's hoping to catch Jesus, a sight of Jesus, as Jesus is leaving Jericho to go on to Jerusalem. Here's Jesus. He's come into the town. He's been welcomed by the townspeople. They're hoping he'll stay and have a meal with them, that he'll bless them with his presence. But he's on his way. He's leaving. And then he spies Zacchaeus, who sequestered himself up this bushy tree, trying to catch a glimpse of Jesus. This traitor, this person of ill repute, this rich man who's got all his wealth by defrauding others. There he is, up a tree, secretly watching Jesus. And Jesus sees him. And Jesus tells him to come down. And he comes down, and immediately Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today. Can you imagine the horror on the townspeople's face when they'd welcomed this honoured guest? They'd imagined that he would stay and have a meal to honour them in their town. But no, he's going on to Jerusalem until he spots the person of most ill repute in the whole community and then decides to turn back and go to his house for a meal. The kingdom of God. You can only get there with an invitation, but everybody is invited. The blind man is invited. The rich man is invited. And Zacchaeus, this traitor, this cheat, this thief, is invited. But will the townspeople respond to the invitation when they see the blind man and Zacchaeus seated at a meal with the Lord? Will they move away? Say, no, I couldn't possibly go in and share in this meal, not with these people. I wonder how often we attempted to exclude ourselves because we limit the grace of our Lord. We're happy to receive it for ourselves and for people like us, but we get troubled when we think that others who don't quite deserve it have also been invited. You see, Jesus came with a message of grace for all people, without exception. He invites all people to his table to enjoy in this celebration of the kingdom. We're invited to accept it, but it's a risky acceptance, because we'll be seated at table with those who were our enemies, those who we disapproved of, those who we considered oppressors and cheats. What is impossible for man is possible for God, and these two receive the grace of God. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the breadth and the depth of your amazing grace that reaches out to all, even to me, even to the most wretched of sinners, and offers a welcome. We thank you, Lord, that when your grace touches our lives, all is transformed. The blind man sees, restored to community, and follows you on the way. This cheat and oppressor is so overcome by your grace that all he has, he gives away. Loving God, may we be so touched by your grace and welcome that we offer ourselves in a total act of giving to you and to others. In Jesus' name, amen.